Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Christ is risen, indeed he is truly risen. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, your host for the program. Happy and blessed to be here with you today on this most beautiful and glorious day that the Lord has made. Thanks for joining me. Well, it's good to be back with you today after a little time off. We made it through another Lent and the Sacred Triduum by the grace of God, and we're now celebrating God's greatest triumph. Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man, rose from the dead after having endured his passion and death. Life triumphed over death. Goodness over evil, it is the victory of the cross. As followers of Christ, we are commanded to go out to all the world and tell this good news, to be heralds of the gospel of life, and by our very lives be a witness to the resurrection. But what exactly does that message entail? Well, we're going to discuss that on today's show because we live in a world that associates Easter with just warm, fuzzy feelings and butterflies and spring flowers. But at the heart of the Easter message is the empty tomb and the wounds Christ endured from his passion and crucifixion that are now resplendent and refulgent, having obtained the victory over sin and death. But before we go any further, let's offer a short prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the author of life, who died and now lives forevermore. May we who work and pray that children in the womb may be protected, always draw strength, confidence, and joy from your victory over death. For you are Lord forever and ever. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. The Biden administration continues its attacks against life and religious freedom as Biden's new Secretary of State rolls back Trump administration policies on abortion and as the FDA commissioner declares that abortion by mail is safe. In the State Department's newly released annual report on human rights violations, it was announced that a woman's access to contraception and abortion will be considered a human right, which Secretary of State Antony Blinken said will be monitored by his department around the world. Meanwhile, FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock has lifted restrictions on the use of telemedicine abortion by allowing the practice of mailing mifepristone pills to patients starting immediately. The FDA is using the coronavirus pandemic to rationalize the move, stating that taking the abortion pill at home without medical supervision helps reduce the risk of contracting the virus. Susan B. Anthony List President Marjorie Dannenfelser said the FDA's decision prioritizes abortion industry profits over the health and safety of women and puts the abortion extremism of the Biden-Harris administration on full display. And in response to the FDA's announcements to lift the restrictions that govern the dispensing of medication abortions, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists rebuked the department for placing political agendas over the health of women. APLOG, which represents some 7,000 women's healthcare practitioners, issued a public statement saying that an in-person visit is medically necessary and sound medical practice for a medication abortion because it ensures that every woman receives a full evaluation for any contraindications. Bypassing the in-person consultation could result in undetected and life-threatening ectopic pregnancies, as well as a physician missing that a woman is being unduly pressured to have an abortion that she does not want. Likewise, screening for abuse and trafficking is inadequate during a telemed visit because the physician cannot control the environment of the woman on the other end of the screen, the statement reads. We would like the FDA to explain why women seeking abortions deserve substandard medical care that places their lives at risk, wrote the chair, Dr. Christina Francis. And the Kentucky Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice has started an 8-week billboard campaign to affirm a person of faith that he or she can be pro-choice. Diane Snow, a spokesperson for the endeavor, stated that for far too long, America's religious right has dominated the discussion about abortion, shaming women and telling them that abortion is a sin. sin, but abortion is between you and God, she said, adding, our message is of a loving God who understands and who offers free will. According to the coalition, the group was founded in 1974 to give voice to mainstream people of faith in Kentucky who are working to safeguard what they call reproductive choice. The organization claims to have around 4,000 members, and beginning Monday, April 19th, it will place digital billboards promoting abortion in Louisville, Nicholasville, and Paducah. Finally, 14 unborn children lost their lives to abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Close to 40% of the women who came to 421 South College Avenue were from Kentucky. It appeared that nearly all the abortions were done chemically, and the day ended much earlier than normal as a result. Once again, foot traffic on non-abortion days was way down this past week, and the facility was unexpectedly closed this past Wednesday. Please keep praying for the conversion of all those who work there, and for this place of death to be transformed into a haven for life. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, Easter is the feast of feasts for Christians, and it brings with it deep feelings of joy and thanksgiving. Our Savior's death destroyed our death, and His resurrection restored our life. Christ's redemption shattered sin and brought back divine life to us with the promise of eternal joy. On that Good Friday, truth was crucified, and on Easter Sunday, truth rose from the dead. What hope this should give us as we observe truth being crucified again in our world today. We can take it to the bank, in spite of all the insanity around us, that truth will once again rise from the lowly grave where the world has condemned it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, St. Paul tells us, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." To keep the feast of Easter means to rejoice and to live in the truth. It was a very dark day on Calvary that Good Friday, and Our Lady alone remained firm in faith, even as Truth Himself was crucified. She shed many tears and endured unbelievable suffering, but she did not waver in the slightest because she knew that truth and life would overcome sin and death in the end. And what an example she provides for all of us. St. Alphonsus Liguori makes an insightful observation when he writes about how God's chosen people were deluded because they expected the Messiah to bring temporal and earthly blessings instead of spiritual and eternal ones. Thus, many rejected him, especially when they saw him hanging upon a cross, dying. This same error plagues us to this day. The worldly-minded, St. Alphonsus writes, who love riches, honor, and the pleasures of earth, refuse to have Jesus Christ for their king, because as far as this earth is concerned, Jesus was but a king of poverty, shame, and sufferings. And this is where the world needs us to be witnesses of what the resurrection really means. So very few are those souls who know the value of suffering and pain united to our Lord's sacrifice. Adversities are meant to be our ladder to heaven, to eternal life. St. Edith Stein writes, those who wish to receive life from Christ can only receive it if they relinquish their own life. For those who are baptized in Christ are baptized in His death. They are submerged in His life in order to become members of His body, and as such, to suffer and to die with Him, but also to arise with Him to eternal divine life. As hard as we might try, there is no way to avoid suffering and pain in this world. But it seems we do everything we can to steer clear of it, even to the point of making choices that are evil and sinful, like procuring an abortion. But it's always still in vain, because suffering and death will eventually find us. St. Edith Stein writes, "The cross has no purpose of itself. It rises on high and points above. But it is not merely a sign. It is Christ's powerful weapon, the shepherd's staff with which the divine David moves against the hellish Goliath. With it, he strikes mightily against heaven's gate and throws it wide open. Then streams of divine light flow forth and enfold all who are followers of the crucified." The resurrection should remind us that the cross, united with Christ, is our greatest weapon. They were doing abortions on Holy Thursday, and one of the sidewalk advocates there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood ended up in a long conversation with a passerby. The woman was distressed that we were out there because she believed that abortion helps women and that it is completely necessary. The conversation eventually turned to God, and she revealed that she has a hard time believing in a God who allows suffering and pain. The woman herself had been through some very trying times, and so she asked the age-old question, if there is a God, where was he in my distress? Why did he allow me to suffer so much? The answer to that, of course, is found in the good news of the resurrection. It's a supreme paradox that death should be the cause of life, that suffering should be the cause of endless joy. But this is what our sufferings and wounds produce when we unite them with the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is love at its deepest and most fundamental levels. Our Savior led the way for us, and like Him, our crucified bodies are meant to one day become risen bodies. Well, hopefully seeds were planted in the heart of that woman on Holy Thursday, and we'd appreciate prayers for her. There are so many souls like her who need to be shown the love of Christ in the form of His sacred wounds and the hope of the resurrection, the victory of the cross. We need to place all of our faith, hope, and trust in the resurrection, especially in these times. I know that last year when we had all the COVID lockdowns and restrictions, it was really hard to celebrate Easter and the resurrection. It was like Lent just continued on and on. And for various reasons, it may still feel that way this year for many people. But we can think back to that Good Friday when the Lord felt the heavy, heavy burden of the weight of all the sins of the world, every single sin that would ever be committed. He took them all upon Himself as if He had committed them, and then allowed divine justice to exact upon His sacred body the punishments due for those sins. Not only that, within His human nature, our Lord underwent the anguish of feeling completely rejected and forsaken by His Father, so much so that He cried out in anguish, my God, why have You abandoned me?" But did God the Father really abandon His Son? Well, of course not. God the Father was closer to Him more than ever, even though Jesus was deprived of the sensible help of the divinity. The feeling of abandonment was a deep wound that Christ bore in His soul in order to prove His love for us and win graces for our souls. In this crazy mixed-up world where truth, science, and biological realities are denied, we might often feel the weight of evil upon us. Frequently, there are few to no tangible signs of an approaching triumph over sin and the culture of death. It can feel as if God has abandoned us and left us to our own demise. But has God the Father really forsaken us? Again, of course not. In fact, as the times get harder and more evil, He is closer to us than ever before, even if we have no sensible indications of it. And it is during these times that our hope lies in the resurrection. In her wisdom, Holy Mother Church has set aside 50 days for celebrating the glorious and joyful season of Easter, which is more than the 40 days of Lent that preceded it. It's her way of reminding us that our hope does indeed lie in the resurrection. Jesus Christ taught us to overcome our anxieties, our sorrows, our sufferings by the complete submission of our wills to that of the Father's, and with a trustful abandonment to His providence, which will eventually lead to the joy of the resurrection. As Christians, we have a long-term outlook, as St. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, pressing on toward the goal to win the promised prize of eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the best, and maybe even the best, readings from the Divine Office is given to us on Holy Saturday. It comes from an ancient homily given for Holy Saturday, whose authorship we do not know. It speaks of our Lord's descent into the underworld following His horrific suffering and death. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, before the resurrection, all the righteous, including Adam and Eve, Abraham, Noah, Moses, and so on, were in what the Church calls the limbo of the fathers until the time when heaven's gates were opened by the sacrifice of Christ. I'm going to read part of this homily, probably written some 1600 years ago, so that we can be reminded of how much Christ loves us and the hope that he gives us if we remain faithful to the cross. The homily begins, "Something strange is happening. There is a great silence on earth today, a great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the king is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh. God has died in the flesh, and hell trembles with fear. He has gone to search for our first parent as for a lost sheep, greatly desiring to visit those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. He has gone to free from sorrow the captives, Adam and Eve, he who is both God and the son of Eve. The Lord approached them, bearing the cross, the weapon that had won him the victory. At the sight of him, Adam, the first man he had created, struck his breast in terror and cried out to everyone, 'My Lord be with you all.' Christ answered him, 'And with your spirit.' He took Adam by the hand and raised him up, saying, 'Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I am your God, who for your sake have become your son. Out of love for you and for your descendants, I now by my own authority command all who are held in bondage to come forth, all who are in darkness to be enlightened, all who are sleeping to arise. I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be held a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. Rise up, work of my hands, you who were created in my image. Rise, let us leave this place, for you are in me and I am in you. Together we form only one person, and we cannot be separated. For your sake, I, your God, became your son. I, the Lord, took the form of a slave. I, whose home is above the heavens, descended to the earth and beneath the earth. For your sake, I became man. And for the sake of you who left a garden, I was betrayed to the Jews in a garden, and I was crucified in a garden. See on my face the spittle I received in order to restore to you the life I once breathed into you. See there the marks of the blows I received in order to refashion your warped nature in my image. On my back, see the marks of the scourging I endured to remove the burden of sin that weighs upon your back. See my hands nailed firmly to a tree for you who once wickedly stretched out your hand to a tree. I slept on the cross, and a sword pierced my side for you who slept in paradise and brought forth Eve from your side. My side has healed the pain in yours. My sleep will rouse you from your sleep in hell. The sword that pierced me has sheathed the sword that was turned against you. Rise, let us leave this place. The enemy led you out of the earthly paradise. I will not restore you to that paradise, but I will enthrone you in heaven. I forbade you the tree that was only a symbol of life. But see, I who am life itself am now one with you. I appointed cherubim to guard you as slaves are guarded, but now I make them worship you as God. The throne formed by cherubim awaits you, its bearers swift and eager. The bridal chamber is adorned. The banquet is ready. The eternal dwelling places are prepared. The treasure houses of all good things lie open. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared for you from all eternity." Well, what a moving and beautiful scene that this homily sets for us on the resurrection of Christ. The words spoken to Adam that the homilist attributes to Christ could be spoken in a certain sense to each one of us. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that after the fall, God cast Adam out of paradise and stationed the cherubim with a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life so that Adam and Eve could not re-enter the garden. Man became estranged from God. But another sword became the symbol of reconciliation when it was thrust into the side and heart of Jesus as he lay dead upon the cross. And from Christ's sleeping side, blood and water gushed forth, symbolizing the life-giving sacraments of baptism and the Holy Eucharist. And think of yet another sword, the one that Peter wielded in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It's easy to imagine Peter in his great zeal rushing to unsheath his sword, desirous to guard and protect Jesus, the tree of life, from the approaching soldiers. Peter even cut off the right ear of the servant of the high priest. But Jesus told Peter to put away his sword because Peter was not charged with the task of guarding the way to the tree of life. Instead, Jesus had to drink the bitter cup the Father had given him to allow the fiery sword to pierce his side so that the reconciliation between God and man could take place. Jesus was telling and showing Peter that this divine restoration was not to be accomplished through any forceful or earthly means, but through a supernatural, self-sacrificial love that cost, that hurt, and that emptied. Our Lord said that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. By his words and by his supreme example, our Lord meant that we must use violence, so to speak, upon ourselves through mortification, penance, fasting, and resisting sin. We must thrust a spiritual sword through our passions, putting them to death. Only those who make use of such violence take the kingdom of heaven. It is how the resurrection was and is accomplished. The world hates the cross. It despises mortification, penance, suffering, and pain. That's because it doesn't see the eternal fruit of it. Our Lord gave St. Maria Faustina a lucid vision of this fact, which she recorded in her spiritual diary. She wrote, "One day I saw two roads. One was wide, covered with sand and flowers, full of joy, music, and all sorts of pleasures. People walked along it, dancing and enjoying themselves. They reached the end of the road, and suddenly there was a horrible precipice, that is, the abyss of hell. They fell blindly into it. As they walked, so they fell. Their numbers were so great that it was impossible to count them. Then I saw another road, or rather a path, for it was narrow and strewn with thorns and rocks. People who walked along it were suffering. Some fell down on the rocks, but got back up and went on. At the end of the road, there was a magnificent garden filled with happiness. And when they entered there, at the first instant, they forgot all their sufferings." Faustina's vision bespeaks of the hope of the resurrection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 warns of the coming of the man of lawlessness, how in the final conflict before the end, the restraint on evil will be removed. Verses 9 through 12 read, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all who will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness." Pondering these verses, one can't be blamed for musing whether St. Paul's words refer precisely to our own times. For we witness truth crucified as the lie is served. Not only that, we live in a world that wants a resurrection without the wounds, a counterfeit resurrection. "Lay down your cross and follow me," says the Antichrist, as he leads the multitudes along the wide and easy way. St. Faustina was also given a vision of hell. She described the horror of that place and how so many people were there. She wrote, "I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw, but I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieve that there is a hell. St. Faustina went on to describe in her diary the great and extensive tortures that souls undergo there, like the perpetual remorse of conscience and the knowledge that one's condition will never ever change. She said there was a continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned, she said. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures, she wrote, if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. She also wrote, let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use of to sin. I am writing this at the command of God so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell or that nobody has ever been there. Oh, how terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, she said, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. Oh, my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least sin. It seems that in these times, Satan's favorite trick is to convince us that the road to heaven, the resurrection of the body, is wide and easy, full of pleasures and comforts of every kind, while the path to hell is narrow with nary a soul on it. The doctrine of universalism, that is, the belief that everyone's going to heaven, that the crucifixion ultimately saved everyone, and that God's mercy will gather everyone together in the end, runs rampant within the church and world in these times in which we're living. Noted English theologian Father Frederick William Faber wrote in the mid-1800s that the devil's worst and most fatal preparation for the coming of the Antichrist is the weakening of men's belief in eternal punishment. Were these the last words I might ever say to you, Father Faber said, nothing should I wish to say to you with more emphasis than this, that next to the thought of the precious blood, there is no thought in all your faith more precious or more needful for you than the thought of eternal punishment. Universalism is an easy dogma to latch onto, though. If you believe it, well, why bother going to church? Why bother teaching or adhering to any morality? Why would you need to evangelize? Why choose the path of suffering and mortification? Why become a saint? It's the resurrection without the wounds. For at least the last century or so, many within the church have failed to boldly proclaim to the world the truth of the gospel and the good news of the real resurrection, wounds and all. We've been afraid to clearly point out sinful conduct and its eternal ramifications. We've chosen the path of least resistance, allowing souls to march on comfortably along that wide path that leads to destruction. We've been conditioned to think how uncharitable it would be for us to call people to pick up their cross and trod the path that is narrow and strewn with thorns and rocks. After all, many say, Christ paid the price with his blood, so we're free to do whatever we want because he understands and forgives us. Believe me, I've heard those sentiments more times than I can count from men and women going in to end the lives of their unborn children there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called such thinking cheap grace. Cheap grace, he said, is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross. Costly grace, on the other hand, he said, is the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. It costs a man his life, and it is costly because it condemns sin. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. There is no resurrection without the cross. Father John Perricone said that counterfeit Christianity always delights in showing the heart of Christ, but not his pierced heart. This false Christianity centers not on sacrificial love, but on sentimental love, a perennial temptation for all the fallen children of Adam and Eve. During this most glorious Easter season, let's pray for the grace for all souls to truly ponder the resurrected body of our Lord. which will have those sacred wounds for all eternity, and not just the warm, fuzzy feelings, butterflies, and spring flowers. May we continue to thrust that spiritual sword into our own passions, allowing our hearts to be pierced, following in the footsteps of our Savior in order to help bring about a resurrection of truth and a culture of life. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.